Christmas story should be quite familiar to us. We go over it at least once every year. And this morning, as we looked at the passage in Matthew, we saw part of the Christmas story. Had you ever realized that if all we had was Matthew, how much we wouldn't know? I mean, what we read this morning would be all we would know about Christmas, though in the next chapter it talks about the wise men coming later. You know, as from Matthew, the concentration's there on Joseph. And Joseph is concerned because he discovers that his fiancée, his wife, is pregnant. And they're not living together. And they haven't been fooling around. So he decides that, I mean, hey, I still care about her. I love her, so I'm going to put her aside quietly. And one night as he's sleeping after he's come to this decision, which I'm sure was not an easy decision, he has a dream. And in his dream, he has an angel talking to him. And the angel tells him, hey, don't be afraid. Mary's still pure. She hasn't done anything she shouldn't have. She's pregnant with God's Son from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and take her as your wife. Marry her. And Joseph did that. But in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew adds this interesting little verse from Isaiah. In verse 22 of Matthew chapter 1, which if you want to follow along in your pew Bible, Matthew is found on page 1147 of your pew Bible. This is that even after it talks about taking her and she giving birth, you know, and naming the baby Jesus. It then says this little note here. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us. And yet, this little verse right here comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 7, which we read this morning. If you'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 7, I'm going to read some more there. It's found in your pew Bible on page 626. Isaiah chapter 7, in the midst of some things that are going on here during Isaiah's day, he talks about a sign. Now let's get the background here, the context. This is approximately the year 735 B.C. Because the context here is war. And the Syro-Ephraim War took place in 735-734 B.C. So we're talking about 730 years before Christ was born. Isaiah receives this information. Now, the context you learn at the beginning of chapter 7. Chapter 7 of Isaiah, verse 1. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Okay, Ahaz is the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, what is left of David's kingdom. Israel is the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that rebelled after Solomon. Because of David's sin, David was told that the kingdom would be split. And so the 10 northern tribes split, and their king is Pekah, the son of Remaliah. North of them is Aram, which is the kingdom of Syria, with the capital of Damascus. Syria and Damascus still exist today, and they have been an enemy of Israel during our lifetime. So you have the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom of God's people and the kingdom of Syria, these two kings together decide to attack Ahaz, the king of Judah, and attack Judah. And they're doing it because God is letting them do it, even though in this context, we're going to find out that, in fact, I just read, they marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. In the next verse, it says this, verse 2. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, which is another name for the northern kingdom of Israel. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Ahaz is scared because he's been attacked before by these two guys, and they won. And they took some of the cities, and he took hundreds of captives and killed thousands of soldiers. So now they're coming again. And so this guy's scared. Now, he should be. Okay? Because Ahaz isn't a good man. If you really want to know more about Ahaz, you can go home tonight or this afternoon and you can turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, which in your pew Bible is page 404. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, we're told about Ahaz and how Ahaz did not follow in the steps of his father David, not his immediate father, but his ancestral father. But he did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Ahaz worshipped the gods of the land. Have you heard about Baal or Baal? Great god, fire god. You know what you did if you worshipped this god? You took your baby son and you threw him in the fire. Ahaz did that. In 2 Chronicles it said he threw his sons, sacrificed his sons to Baal. Threw him in the fire. We don't know how many sons. Another interesting thing that you read about there is that after that earlier attack in which he got defeated and the cities destroyed and all these things happened, he was now being bothered by his ally, Assyria, which is what this attack is all about. This attack now is they want him to ally with them to hold off Assyria, but he's looking to Assyria to help him from these other two guys. Okay, all these nice political things, you know. And what had happened the first time, he got defeated. So afterward, when things were getting troublesome and Assyria is bothering him, he decides to worship the god of Damascus. His reasoning is, they beat me, so their god must have some power, so I'm going to build an altar and pray to and sacrifice to their god. Dumb. Okay? So that's the context, the background. These two guys are going to attack him. He's scared. Then verse 3. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Sher-Jashub. Actually, the son's name means a remnant will return. How would you like to have sons who are given names that the names in themselves are a message? A remnant will return. So, go out, you and your son, a remnant will return, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So Ahaz, who really doesn't believe in God, gets a message from God that tells him, hey, don't worry. It ain't going to happen. Trust. And even in there, there's even a prophecy that within 65 years, Ephraim, or the northern kingdom of Israel, will be scattered. It was 65 years later that Assyria came in and conquered Samaria and took these people away and brought in foreigners who intermarried with the poorest of the poor that were left behind, and those people became the Samaritans of Jesus' day. Now, what we read this morning, verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. A sign. What is this sign? But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. I'm not going to challenge the Lord. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah didn't understand all this. Apparently from the context, as you go into the next chapter, he marries a prophetess. The assumption is his first wife, who brought that, you know, the remnant will return, died. And now he's going to marry another woman who's going to give him another son that's going to have another name. And it is believed that his second name was Emmanuel. So, to Isaiah, this is talking about his virgin prophetess that he's going to marry and going to have a child, you know, and all this kind of stuff. He didn't understand that this was, at least I don't think he understood. He may have. I mean, because Isaiah's full of prophecies about Christ coming. But I want you to see that here is an ungodly man who rejects God and worships other gods. And yet God is willing to give him a sign. Why? Because he is the line of David. And the line of David has to be preserved. Because Jesus is going to be of the line of David. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1. Which is page 1294 in the Pew Bible. Years BC, Isaiah is told to go to this horrible king of Israel, of Judah, the southern kingdom, and tell them that God's going to save them. Not to make an alliance with Assyria. Because if he does, you know, he's going to suffer from it too. Because when they take away the northern kingdom, they're also going to attack Judah, even though they don't take Judah away. That sign is then quoted by Matthew to let us know that it is prophecy about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when we get to Romans, we find out about Paul spreading the gospel of God, the good news. And the good news of God is about Jesus Christ. See what it says here? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel, or good news, of God. The gospel, the good news, he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. We just read one of those predictions, one of those prophecies. 730 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah is told that a virgin's going to have a baby. Now, we can go back to Romans chapter 1 and we can skip verse 2 for a moment, because verse 2 is like a parenthesis. It's giving us additional information. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let me reread it going verse 1 to verse 3. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God regarding his son, who as his human nature was a descendant of David. That's why Ahaz had to be preserved. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, or the Holy Spirit, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his namesake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ sent his own Son, born of a virgin. Now, that is very, very important. That is crucial. If Jesus Christ had normal parents like you or me, he could have been a great guy and he could have gone out there and died. But he would have been dying for his own sins. Because Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin, he was born sinless. He was God's Son. Because he was born sinless, when he died on the cross, he didn't die for himself. He died for me. He died for you. You see, and that is the message of Christmas. God with us. Because Jesus Christ died for my sins, now when I stand before God, I don't stand before God a sinner. God doesn't see my sin. God sees Jesus Christ in his shed blood. Jesus Christ died for me. So when God sees me, I am sinless. That's why God can be with me. Because I'm not covered in my sins anymore. My sins were laid on Christ. That is the good news that Paul wants to bring to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. A few years after Jesus. I mean, this is a guy who starts out believing these Christians are wrong. Jesus Christ is not the Messiah. The Messiah was supposed to come and be our king and set up a kingdom and overthrow the Romans. That's why on Palm Sunday he was cheered. And by the end of the week the people are going, oh yeah, right, sure, forget you. Crucify him. Because he wasn't going to set up a kingdom. So they turned on him. And this guy Paul, used to be Saul, is going after these Christians because they're teaching something different. And they're wrong. They're phonies. Until Jesus Christ appears to him. And then God was with Paul. And God, Paul wants to bring God to Rome. He's writing to the Christians there. And he's telling them what the gospel is, the good news of God. That we were told about in the Old Testament and the prophets regarding his son who is descended from David, the Messiah, born of a virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. And the ultimate proof of that is he's alive. God is still with us. How could God be with us and Jesus stay dead? See, Christmas and Easter go together. God is with us. And that's the gospel. It's for all people, verse 5, through him and for his name's sake, he received grace and apostleship. We receive, Paul is saying, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Total, unreserved commitment to Jesus Christ. That's what obedience to faith is all about. The obedience that comes from faith. And you also. Now, you're saying that to the Romans, but see, I didn't read the next verse that says to all in Rome. So I can just stop at verse 5, 6 and say, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's me. That's you. I hope that as you celebrate this Christmas, that you can get beyond all of the hassle, you know, going out there getting all those last minute presents and fighting the people off and wondering whether you got enough money, you know, and or where the money's going to come from. Yeah, put it on your credit card. you know, and all this kind of stuff. And fixing up the house because you got relatives coming, or maybe you're going to someone else's house and so they got to clean up for you. You know, and fixing all that food, or they're fixing all that food, and you want to take something, you know, and all the hassle and hassle and hassle and all that busyness. Oh, yeah, and you got to come to church here Thursday night. You know, twice, you know, Sunday morning. You know, I mean, just gotcha, you know, especially if you want communion at 11 o'clock because we're not having it today. You know, so, you know, there's all this, it's a hassle. And you can get depressed. Christmas is depression for a lot of people. It's very depressing. Especially when they open the presents, they don't get what they wanted, right? But you see, what Christmas is really all about is that sign, a virgin who brought into our lives God. God with us. God is with us. And that's what I hope that you can see and experience. Not just know. But when those moments, when things kind of get out of hand, take a moment and say, hey, wait a minute. God is with me. God with us. That's what this is all about. So what if that doesn't get cleaned up? You know, or the whatever collapses. In Romans chapter 1, in conclusion, I'd like to read verses 16 and 17. It's Paul speaking again. And I say this with him. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, me. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. May your faith be real. May the people that you work with, the relatives that you gather with, who don't understand all of this, may they see Jesus in you. May they see Jesus in each of us this Christmas. That God is with us. Especially if you followed what's happened in Washington, you know, there's a divided country. In the sense that it was very obvious Republicans and Democrats were talking past each other. In fact, one commentator said that. And as we get out into the real world, Republicans and Democrats are talking past each other and they're hating the other and condemning them. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Let's get beyond that. Let's start by having the humility in us that I am a sinner. And if it weren't for Christmas, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, so that he could be a sinless sacrifice for me. God couldn't look upon me, because all God would see is my sin, as he sees the sin of so many others in our country. But because of my acceptance of what Jesus Christ did for me, I can have fellowship with God. I'm just like those people. I have my opinions and thoughts. And sometimes I get angry. And yeah, frustrated. Very easy in the next few days, right? But when that happens, I know that in Jesus Christ, I can lay it down, and I'm forgiven. And God sees me through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And so I can say, yes, God is with me. And His Holy Spirit is that sign or seal in my life that I am His. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.